So we were just talking about how, yes, we find an opposition against what we're standing for as Christians. And for me, I experienced the spiritual opposition in East Timor, but I found that the Lord came with power and might, and he came with his heart of reconciliation to the people of Timor-Leste. And for me, it was like God coming, as he comes to all his people, and he comes with power to set people free and bring them into a place of freedom, but a place where they can bring freedom to others as well. So I'd like to really share how the Lord came. And in our scripture that we considered earlier, we spoke about how Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And the gospel, when it comes to a people, it comes and it says, Christ took your judgment on the cross, the judgment that we all deserve before a holy and righteous God. And Christ took it on himself. He delivered us so that we might come into a resurrection life where we live for him. And we live for him as if he is our king, he's our Lord. And God's kingdom comes through the Holy Spirit into our hearts as we believe in him. And it's amazing when a people or a nation believe that message and come under that salvation, because it changes everything. So I'd like to illustrate this heart of reconciliation with my trips to East Timor. So we go to the first slide. We've got everything going wrong.
Sorry.
I'm actually driving this other thing. Here we go.
You're right.
So I'll have two hands going. No, that's okay. So I'll get going. So my first trip to East Timor, the Lord took me out to this village through a youth of the mission, and the chief of the village in the red jumper there, he had said to YWAM, we want to come out of the darkness into the light. And that society, that village, lived in ancestral worship. They lived in the spiritual darkness where curses were issued by the magic man. And people lived in bondage and fear to the spiritual realm. And they lived to appease the evil spirits. And so he said, we want to come out of the darkness into the light. So we preached the gospel of salvation in Christ. And many young people there responded, and we handed out the first scriptures to them that they'd ever seen. And so they were very hungry for that. But I realised that the Lord really wanted to follow up that trip, because it was really just the first proclamation of the gospel. And so the lady at YWAM said, you should come for a number of months. We need to follow that up. So I went there in 2015. And I met the chief at the river, which was dry at that time, and we were taking all our supplies up into the village. And he had a problem, and he asked me to pray, and he said that he had this pain in his side, and it moved up into his heart, it gave him heartburn, and it moved down into his back, and he couldn't work. Now, I knew that was a demonic power in his life, so I rebuked that in the name of Jesus and took authority. And nothing happened. And I thought, okay, Lord, I need to look to you. What do I do? And we went into that village and we started to speak to the chief, and we said, have you opened yourself up to darkness? And he said, yes. And he'd been involved with martial arts, and he'd been laid on a cross, and they'd stuck things into his body to give him spiritual power. He also admitted to the ancestral worship. He had all these good luck charms in a bag. So over a week, we spoke to him and we said, you need to burn those things. You need to completely renounce everything. Now, this man had received Jesus into his life. He knew the message of salvation, but in his heart, he still feared the spiritual powers. He still believed in their power. And he needed to know about the power of God. And so when he renounced everything, burnt his good luck charms, He was completely set free. And he was a new man. And I'll show those pictures as we move forward. So as we went into the village, the Lord started to work very powerfully in very miraculous signs and wonders. Now, this one of my translator on the right, he got bitten by a scorpion, and it was very painful. The pain was shooting up his arm. And normally when that happens there, you have pain for a week. It's a very nasty scorpion. And so I knew the scriptures that, you know, no serpent or scorpion will have power over you. You pray for the sick, you shall recover. So we prayed in the name of Jesus, and the pain stopped running up his arm, and he started recovering, and then he recovered and started carrying these heavy timbers back to the village hut. And the chief was amazed because he knew that that would be a very bad affliction. And that night I spoke to my translator, Asau, and I said, how are you now? And he said, I've got a slight headache. So I said, thank you, Jesus, finish your work. And he was completely healed of all the pain of that scorpion. And it was just amazing because the Lord did that. And it was just one of many things that he started to do. And so as we started preaching the gospel to the children and to the villagers, people came forward and asked us for prayer. Now this lady, she had a pain that came around her neck every time harvest came. And so we prayed in the name of Jesus, and she was set free from this pain that used to hang around her neck. And when I went back in 17, in this year, she confirmed that that had never come back. And so she gave her life to the Lord and was became a very hungry individual for God and his word. This is the chief here. Now, after he'd renounced everything, he'd thrown all the good luck charms in the fire. And in the night after that, he was completely set free from this power that was operating in his life. And the word of God says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I could hardly recognise him because before that, he had a very worried, heavy sort of appearance, very creased brow. And when I saw him, he was beaming. He was like a new guy. And I thought, there is a new creation. There is God's salvation. Now, his wife, Mariana, she came along with him. She was not fully in what he had come into, but she was very keen. She was very interested. So we kept going back into the village over a 4-6 week period. And the Lord started to really just break out. It was just incredible where we had 20 to 30 people healed as we prayed for them in the name of Jesus. And the thing that I learnt was that we have authority in Christ. And when we bind the work of Satan and we command it to go, it goes. We call on the fire of the Holy Spirit on people, and that fire comes upon them. Any evil influence in that life will go. And so we saw people come forward. One night, everyone that came forward was healed. And there was a lady, she had a heart problem, and we prayed in the name of Jesus against this pain in her heart. And she said, I said, how do you feel? And she said she felt better. I said, okay, I'll step it up. Now I call on the fire of the Holy Spirit. Come, fire of God, come and judge every work of Satan. And she was healed. And it was just typical of what the Lord was leading me into. This was a new thing for me. But many people came and gave their lives to Christ because they saw the power of God, Christ. That Christ isn't just in heaven on a throne. He sent his spirit onto the earth to bring his kingdom, his reign, his rule over the forces of darkness in their lives. Now, this is just the example of the, in the middle, the lady with the blue jumper. She was the one that was healed, blue shirt. She was healed from the pain in her heart. These two boys here, were both healed from pains in their body. And one of them was healed the first time I prayed for him, the one was healed the second time I prayed for him. And so the Lord was really just showing these people that he loved them and that he was real. Jesus was real. And when you pray in the name of Jesus, it's as if Jesus is placing his hand on them. And you expect Jesus to be there with you, and you lay your hand on them, the power that's in you is translated to that person. So there's a transfer of power that happens in that. And so these people wanted to know more about him. They wanted to come to Jesus. This is another sign that the Lord did to a man who'd been kidnapped from that village by the Indonesians in the time of the Indonesian invasion and the war that took place in East Timor. So the guy at the top of the picture, he'd been kidnapped and taken and made a Muslim in Indonesia. And after many, many years, he came back to his village. He'd been kidnapped as a boy. He couldn't even speak their language, and he was a Muslim. And we went up onto the mountain, and on that mountain, there's these very poisonous plants with prongs on the end of their leaf. And if you touch that, that'll put a poison in your body, very much like a scorpion, and it will run up your body, and it'll make you sick for a year. So this plant is a plant you do not want to touch. It's makes you very sick. So we were climbing up the mountain and he touched that plant and he grabbed his arm like he'd been bitten by a snake. And we asked him, did you touch that plant? And the chief said, you'll be very sick. So I said, Lord, you healed a sow with a scorpion. Jesus, just do it again. Lord, we just pray that you'll take this pain away. Touch him, Lord. May all the pain be gone in Jesus' name. Anyway, he was amazed because the pain had stopped running up his arm. And he looked and I said, how is it now? And he said, well, there's only pain where I touched the plant. I said, okay. So we went up the mountain, we came down, and then I asked to pray for him again. So I said, Lord, thank you for what you've started. Just finish that work right now. Complete healing in Jesus' name. And he was amazed because all the pain had left him. And he was searching because he was asking all these questions about Jesus. Jesus came and showed him that he was real, that he could actually save him from his problem that he had. And it was just incredible because the more we expected Jesus to do things, the more he did it. It was like this childlike faith of just believing in Jesus and his power to deal with any situation. When we spoke the gospel, many, many people responded, and all the children gave their lives to him, virtually all the children in the village. When we turned up there, the village was very heavy. There was a lot of crying. There was a lot of sadness in the village. You could just hear the cries of the children and people in the morning. When we left there, they were all singing praise and worship songs to God. And the atmosphere of the village had changed. And it was just incredible to see Jesus drawing individual ones to him through the time that we were there and how they all responded to him when they were ready. The last morning we were there, this man came up to us and he was very troubled. His face was heavy, it was down. He said, can you pray for me? He said, the evil spirits, I want you to set me free. He said, they throw me on the ground. I have no strength. I can't overcome. And we said, well, we can't do that. You have to want Jesus. We can cast out an evil spirit in Jesus' name, but they'll come back. Do you want Jesus? So when we were trying to talk to him about Jesus, he started speaking all this rubbish out of his mouth. He said, I've never sinned, I've never done anything wrong. So a sow, my translator, said to me, it's just this demonic thing in his life. And I thought, Lord, what do I do? You know, in these situations, you look to the Holy Spirit. And the scripture came to my mind, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I said to the man through my translator, you have to call on the name of the Lord now. You need Jesus to save you right now. Call on him. So as he called on him, on Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit rose up in me and a sow, And we commanded that to go in Jesus' name, and he was completely set free right there and then in front of the chief's house in the front of the village. And his face was just lit up. It was like a switch had been turned on his face. He was completely free, and I just thought, wow, Lord, that is incredible. That's your heart. Your heart is to bring freedom. And then my friends turned up to take us back to Dili, the capital, and the Timorese were watching the Jesus video while they were waiting. So I went down to see what they were watching, and I went down into the chief's house, and there was that man, and he was watching the story of Jesus and the man who was set free from the evil spirits. When all the evil spirits were cast out of him and went into the pigs in the lake. And he was watching the man there, sitting there in his right mind with Jesus. And I was behind him as he was looking at the screen. And I thought, wow, Jesus, you're the same Jesus as that day as you are now. You did the same thing for him as you did for the man. He hasn't changed. And so this is the Lord. His heart is to bring freedom, reconciliation. That man was reconciled to Christ. He was reconciled to God. And we just bring that message of salvation and healing. Now, that was my first trip, and I could say a lot more about that trip because I went away in utter amazement at what the Lord did on that trip. At the end of that trip, my friend sent a message back saying, the follow-up news, the chief is very hungry and thirsty for the truth about Jesus, and it makes his wife want to get that fire from him. I left, came away, and for 2 years I've been trying to get back there. And in the end, the Lord put it on my heart to go back in about November, December, he put it on my heart to go. And he put in my heart Mariana. Now, Mariana, I knew was not clear. I booked my tickets. In January, the YWAM lady emailed me and said, Thomas and Mariana have separated. They are living separately. And I thought, wow, Lord, you put up my heart to go for Mariana. This is her time. She has to come clear. And so this is now the beginning of my second trip in 2017. When I turned up in Timor, my other friend, Asau, who was my translator, had come to work in Australia. So I needed a translator. I can't speak Tetan. And the Lord had provided this young man, Nino. And Nino had been touched by God in Indonesia. He had gone there to study, and he gone into a study about Christianity. And while they were speaking about Christianity, about the message of forgiveness, the people in the class broke down in tears and started crying. And many of them responded to the gospel that God wanted to forgive their sins through Jesus' death on the cross. And at the end of the series, the Holy Spirit came very powerfully upon this class of students from Indonesia. And the Holy Spirit came to Nino and really touched him and filled him. And he had been seeing God doing miracles and healings through him. And the Lord caused him to connect with me, and we went out together with a team from YWAM Brazil to the village again. So this is the back to the village. Now when we got there, we began this process of reconciliation with Mariana. In the morning, we'd talk to her. And the evening would talk to the chefy, the chief. And Mariana, I said, what have you done when you were younger? And she said, well, look, when I was younger, I was dedicated to the ancestors. And they marked her with bamboo on her arms, her head, and her forehead. And I said, you have to ask for forgiveness on behalf of your parents. And you have to renounce that. You have to repent of that. That's an opening to darkness. And so she did that. We anointed her with oil and we prayed the power of the Holy Spirit upon her to break those curses over her life. And we then spoke about what Christian marriage meant to her as a woman. With Thomas, we then spoke about how Christ loved his wife and gave his life for her. And so we led them both to this point where they wanted to be reconciled. So that was going on in the background. Meanwhile, we went around the village praying for people. And this man here, there's our lady, the lady on the right. She was the one who was healed from the pain around her neck. Well, her grandfather had a pain in his back and pain in his ankle. We prayed in the name of Jesus and he was healed completely from both of them. And when the Holy Spirit touched him, he just started beaming and smiling. And a few days later, he was doing this very heavy work, breaking down and carrying this house away. And I saw him, I thought, wow, Lord, you touched him. You just want to help this man. And so that was just one of the miracles the Lord did there. This lady here, she has this little girl, and she said to me, my daughter was healed when you came last time. She was very sick. And it was just good to see the confirmation of what the Lord had done. And she herself was very sick at one point, and the YWAM people came and prayed for her three times. She couldn't eat for 8 or 9 days, and the Lord healed her from that affliction. This man on the right, he had a problem with his lungs, and the Lord touched him and healed him, and he received Christ. The other man had received Christ into his life on our previous visit, and it was just encouraging to meet him again. This morning here, we met these two ladies who'd come up to the other lady's house that I showed previously, and the Lord opened the eyes of the lady on the right. She had blurred vision. We said, Jesus, touch her, Lord. Just open her eyes. Lord Jesus, touch her. And her vision was restored to normal sight. And when I showed her the photo, I took the photo, she looked at the photo and her eyes lit up and I knew she could see very clearly. And the lady on the right left was healed. I'm pretty sure she had a sickness, I can't remember what it was, but they were both healed that morning. And the thing you must understand about Jesus is that he loves to heal. He loves to heal. When you get that in your heart, that he loves to heal people, well, you can move in his heart. Trust him that he wants to do that and he will. And that's a part of his gospel proclamation to these people. This young lady was she's doing a discipleship training course in YWAM, and she came down the village. And then suddenly this pain just wrapped around her waist and she could hardly walk and she felt very troubled and she came to me and asked for help. Now, when these things happen, you must remember that we don't have anything to fear. We have the name of Jesus. We have his authority being given to us and we can use that authority. It's been given to us in Christ. And so I said to her, well, we're going to bind this up in Jesus' name. So I bound it in Jesus' name and I commanded it to go. And I said, how do you feel? And she said, I feel better. I said, okay, now I'm calling on the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I called on fire, fire, fire. Jesus said, you'll be baptized. John the Baptist said, sorry, I baptise with water, but there's one coming after me who will baptise you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that fire operates in our lives. So when I prayed for her in that way, with that authority, she was set free. And one of the things I had to start doing there was to actually train them, the people there and the chief, the authority that they have in Christ, that we can use that authority for him. So this is getting near the very end. At the end of that week, we brought Thomas and Mariana together in a service of reconciliation. It was like a little marriage ceremony again. We brought them into their house. They could hardly look at each other. We got them to confess their faults one to another. We then asked each person to forgive the other person as Christ had forgiven them. Then I got them to stand up and I asked Thomas to pray for his wife. As a spiritual head of his family, I got him to lay his hands on Mariana and pray for her. And that broke the ice. And he prayed for her in her language for her. And they were reconciled. And for me, it was such a great joy because all the children then came back into the house and they, the chief and his wife, were brought together again. And this is this message of reconciliation. Now, when we left, Mariana wanted to get baptised. She was ready now to surrender to Christ. She'd believed in Jesus, but this is baptism. It's saying, I'm surrendering everything to Christ. I'm all for him now. I'm living for him. And so after I left, they had the baptism in Dili, and there's Mariana in the white with Thomas, and I got those photos and it so touched my heart. I thought, wow, there's that message of reconciliation, that Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. And that's the Lord's heart. He wants us to live for him and live in the authority that he's given us as believers and expect him to move with us. As he said to Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always go with you. Wherever you go, you carry Christ. You carry his presence in your spirit, your heart. And you carry him, and wherever you go, he goes. And that's something that we should move in. So I want to encourage you as a church. These are times of opposition, but they're times of opportunity where we can gather and pray and call on God to move and fight our enemies. Call on him to bring his kingdom of reconciliation and love to a broken world. And that's the opportunity we live in. Let me encourage you with that. Thank you. And I'll just say all the glory and all the praise goes to Jesus because he did it all.